Glory to the Sama devotees, all glory to Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram
Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Totodayam Udirayat.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and we can't forget Srila Prabhupada, because if we didn't have the translation and the commentary, we really wouldn't understand very much. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by regular rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And unto the personality of Godhead is established as a
irrevocable.
You can't get away from it. It'll stay in your heart. It'll stay there. It'll never go away. Cool, huh? Yeah. So we're reading today from 12th canto. 12th canto is the last canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and we're reading from chapter 3, which is the Bhumi Gita, which is the prayers offered by Mother Earth when she sees all these kings and all these people trying to exploit her so much continually. And she says, everybody comes and goes. Everybody comes and makes a huge effort to exploit all my resources. And then they go really fast. And they're just a little pile of names. Just a pile of names on the ground. You think, oh, when he's here, he's working really hard. He's conquering this land. He's president of this place. He's this, he's that. She might be too, but whatever, that person. And then after all of that, nobody even remembers them. We think we're so important. But we're really insignificant. Okay, chapter 3, text 39 and 40. Nityam udvigna manaso.
Nityam udvigna manaso.
Nityam udvigna manaso.
Nityam udvigna manaso.
Durbhiksha karakarshita.
Durbhiksha karakarshita.
Durbhiksha karakarshita.
Durbhiksha karakarshita.
Nirane bhutale rajan.
Nirane bhutale rajan.
Anavrishti bayatura.
Anavrishti bayatura.
Anavrishti bayatura.
Anavrishti bayatura.
Vaso nan panashayana.
Vaso
nan panashayana.
Vaso nan panashayana.
Yavaya snana bhushanai.
Yavaya snana bhushanai.
Yavaya snana bhushanai.
Yavaya snana bhushanai.
Hina pisacha sandrasha.
Hina pisacha sandrasha.
Hina pisacha sandrasha.
Hina pisacha sandrasha.
Bhavishyanti kala praja. Bhavishyanti kala praja.
Bhavishyanti kala praja.
Please chant.
Nityam udvigna manaso.
Durbhiksha karakarshita.
Durbhiksha karakarshita.
Everybody together, the last one.
Vasana panashayana yavaya snana bhushanai hina pisacha sandarsha bhavishanti kalau praja
nityam constantly udvigna
agitated
manasa their minds durabhiksha by famine Kara and taxes. Karishita, emaciated. What does emaciated mean? Yes? Very thin. Your name's Nandulal, correct? Nandulal said it's very thin. Very thin. Emaciated, like really thin. Emaciated. Nirane, when there's no food to be found. Bhutale, upon the surface of the earth. Rajan, O King Parikshit, Anavrishti, of drought. Baya, because of fear. Atura, anxious. Vasa, clothing. Ana, food. Pana, drink. Shayana, rest. Vyavaya, sex. Snana, bathing. Bhushanai, the personal ornaments. Hina, lacking. Pisacha sandrasha, appearing just like ghostly demons. Bhavishanti, they will become. Kalau, in the age of Kali. Praja, the people. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. In the age of Kali, people's minds will always be agitated. They will become emaciated by famine and taxation, my dear king, and will always be disturbed by fear and drought, of drought. They will lack adequate clothing, food, and drink, and will be unable to properly rest, have sex, or bathe themselves, and will have no ornaments to decorate their bodies. In fact, the people of Kali Yuga will gradually come to appear like ghostly, haunted creatures. And the purport is, these symptoms described here are already prevalent in many countries of the world and will gradually spread to other places engulfed by impiety and materialism. Om agina timirandasya jinanjana salakaya chaksur umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly, forcibly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm totally indebted to him and beg for service life after life. Hare Krishna. So who remembers some of the characteristics of the people that are predicted for this age of Kali that were mentioned in the verse? One or two or three of them. Who can remember some of them? From the boys' sides. Any of the characteristics that were mentioned in the verse? What happens in Kali Yuga? Okay, don't say everything. Ahuna. Ahana, thank you. Sorry.
Your minds are always agitated.
Yeah. Oh, yes, true. Okay, Garanga.
Poverty, famine.
Poverty, famine, thank you. Something from this side of the room? Anyone remembers other characteristics? We said a lot of them. Anyway, taxes. Those of the older people would probably have connected to that one. Taxes. They'll become depressed by so much taxation. Okay, so this, what we have here, it's like a weather forecast. Did you realize that? It's like a weather forecast. How is it that the weather forecast can predict the weather? He looks at the symptoms, right? He looks at the symptoms, the atmospheric pressure. He looks at the clouds. How many types of clouds are there? Do you know? Garanga? You know that one too? Five. Very good. There's five different types of clouds. And they all have different, if you study your weather patterns. Have you studied weather in class yet? In any of your classes do meteorology? Clouds? Okay. So the different layers of clouds, they have different meaning. The cirrus cloud means something, and there are certain clouds that when those particular clouds appear in the sky, it actually means fair weather, good weather. There's some clouds that indicate good weather. And then there's some clouds that indicate heavy rain, thunder, lightning, tornadoes even sometimes. So they can predict that because they know the different symptoms that manifest in the atmosphere. So the great sages from long, long ago, they could understand what's going to happen in Kali Yuga because they can understand the influence of the modes of nature. Those three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are influencing everything that we do. It's kind, and they're invisible. Even though it's invisible, it's very has a very strong presence in our life. Just like, have you done some work or played with magnets? You can't really see how that, what makes the nail come towards the magnet. You can't see it, but you just put the magnet close to the nail and it goes zoop, right over. So what is that? It has an influence. It has a subtle and a gross influence, although it's invisible. So not everything that we see, not everything that influences us is physical. There's invisible influence from the modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. And each one of those modes of nature has its symptoms.
And the mode of goodness, can you remember from Bhagavad Gita some of the symptoms of the mode of goodness? From the girl's side? From the older girls? Mode of goodness? Aha! Uh-huh. Okay. From the boy's side? Mode of goodness? Santosh?
Fulfillment.
Okay. All right. Sundari. Knowledge. Good girl. Thank you. Happiness. Thank you. Happiness. Anything else?
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian. They could be, yes. Yeah, mode of goodness. Okay, how about mode of... Yes?
Thinking only what's happening right now.
Thinking of only what's happening right now. Trying to make the best use of what's happening. Based on knowledge and things. Very good. Thanks. Very nice. Okay, so that's the mode of goodness. So in... there's a whole system, the whole creation, there's a whole system. So there's four ages taken together. There's what's the first age? Satya Yuga, then Treta Yuga, then Dwapara Yuga, then Kali Yuga. It's like spring, summer, fall, and winter. So they have different characteristics. In the beginning of creation, in the Satya Yuga, everybody's influenced by the mode of goodness, so therefore they're all inclined to spiritual life in general, but that's what we're talking about in general. And then the next Yuga, Treta Yuga, there's a little less goodness, still predominantly goodness, but a little bit more other influences are there. Then there's passion. Now we're going to the modes of nature. There's passion. What's a symptom of the mode of passion? Are you Nitai? Okay, Nitai, what's a symptom of the mode of passion?
Attachment.
Good, very good. Some other symptom of the mode of passion? Gurunga.
Quick to be angered.
Yeah, quick to be angered. Are you Ram? Ram? Always wanting, always hankering for something. Nandalal?
Spicy food.
Spicy food. Spicy food, it's true.
Working all the time on something just to make money.
Working all the time on something just to make money. A lot of endeavor. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not pronouncing your name right, so.
They're always proud of themselves.
You got me there. They're always proud. Good, good. So that's the mode of passion. So when people become influenced by those things, although it appears to be invisible, people act in certain ways. They act in certain ways according to the influence of the modes of nature. And then there's ignorance, which is darkness, illusion, you know, other things too. And ignorance. So those, the three modes of nature, have predominance. So in Kali Yuga, the mode of ignorance is predominant. You know, lying, cheating, dishonesty. It's hard to be a liar without being dishonest. So many things are there. And so this is like, again, a weather forecast, because the sages, thousands and thousands of years ago, they could see how the modes of nature are going to influence people. And therefore, they said, well, people who are influenced by these modes of nature are going to act in this way. So people who are influenced by the mode of ignorance and the concomitant factors that come along with the mode of ignorance, they're going to be always oppressed. They're going to always suffer. They're going to suffer so much that they won't even have adequate food or clothing or ornaments or whatever, or bathing. They won't even be able to bathe properly. This is, so although it might appear depressing, especially since we're in the age of Kali, we might think that, oh no, there's no hope. Ugh. Santosh, what would you like to say? How would someone not be able to bathe themselves? That would be, you know what one factor would be? They wouldn't even know the importance of bathing themselves. I mean, they might be able to do it, but only if they knew that they should do it. If they don't even know that they should bathe themselves, like many people don't bathe themselves regularly. In fact, some people only bathe themselves once a week. They do. I know a family like that. Yeah. We took a bath on Saturday night whether we needed or not. Sorry, but it's true. Because we didn't know. Till later on. So, but also, it says there's a drought. So drought means no water. So that means water isn't easily available. So that also could be a factor.
Are you Paul?
Go, Paul. I don't know what my problem is. Go, Paul. Sorry.
Also, it's in the end of the age of coming, the sun's going to be burning much stronger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. Sun's going to be burning really a lot in the end of time. It would make sense. But even now we see that factor there. Okay, so again, although all of these symptoms are mentioned, still there is a little hope, which I'll get to in a minute. But first I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story that Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj told a few years ago when he was here. And it had to do with Maharaj Yudhisthira and Bhima. And it was after the Battle of Kurukshetra. And so Maharaj Yudhisthira was established on the throne. And Bhima just happened to be in the court, in the courtyard more or less, guarding the palace of the king. And this one man came up to him and said, he was very anxious. Very upset, and he said, I need to speak to Maharaj Yudhisthira. I need to speak to him, it's really important. And Bhima said, well, what's your problem? He said, I have a question for him. He said, well, you can ask me, I can help you with a lot of things. So the man said, okay, all right. So he said, I was just coming through my village, and I saw a person who had a fence around their garden. And that fence was eating the vegetables. Like, what does that mean? Because, you put a fence up, why? Because there's deer, you want to keep the deer out, you want to keep unwanted people out from trampling your vegetables. You put the fence up to protect, right? But this fence was the one who was eating the vegetables. That was so unusual. He said, what does it mean? And Bhim said, I don't know, maybe you should go in and see Maharaj Yudhisthira. So he led him in to see Maharaj Yudhisthira. And then he remained there outside guarding the palace. And at some time later, another person comes up to him and said, I need to see Maharaj Yudhisthira, I have a question for him. The same scenario went. Bhima said, well, I can answer your question. What's your problem? He said, I just saw a man carrying a full bucket of water, like one of those Lowe's buckets, 5 gallons, say, 4 gallons. So he was carrying a full bucket of water, and he was carrying it for some way, and he stopped, and he had 4 containers, and he poured out equal amounts of water into the 4 containers. He emptied his bucket, he filled up those 4. Okay? Nothing special about that. But then, when he took the water from the 4 containers and poured it back into the bucket, it didn't fill up the bucket. Now that was a mystery. And Bhima said, okay, why don't you go in and ask him, see what it means, and let me know what he says. So then everything was fine, and then another person comes by. It was a very busy day at Maharaj Yudhisthira's court that day. Another person comes by, and he said, I have a question. He was also very anxious. He wanted to go in to see Maharaj Yudhisthira. Bhima wanted to try to help him first and try to, fend off all the people that were bothering Yudhisthira. He thought, I can answer this one for sure. So what's your problem? He said, I just saw an elephant. And he was going through a hole in a gate, a hole in a fence. And he got through. And his tail got stuck. Now, how did that happen? Because he's way wider in the front part than he is in the back part. Doesn't make any sense. What's going on? He said, go in. There's a few people in front of you. Just go in and ask them. And then one more person comes after a few more minutes. Another person comes and he said, I don't know what's going on. I need some help. What does this sign mean? Because they're reading the signs. They're reading the signs. And so, same scenario. Beam says, I can answer it, but then he can't answer it. The question was, I just saw a mountain of stone, a huge stone mountain, right? And it had a couple of vines hanging down it. And this skinny little Brahmin-type person, really skinny little person, comes by, pulls on the vine, and the whole mountain collapses and comes tumbling down. What does that mean? Couldn't figure it out. Bhima sent him in. But the thing was, is that none of those people were coming out. It's not like they asked their question and then came out and, you know, they were all staying inside. So then Beam goes in and says, because he wants to find out the answer. What does this mean? So he goes in and he doesn't see any of them. Not one of the four people. He doesn't see any. So Bhima asks Maharaj Yudhisthira, what about those four people that I sent in? Where are, and Maharaj Yudhisthira said, what four people? Nobody came in. So then the mystery's getting bigger instead of smaller. It's getting bigger. Where did the people go? And so Maharaj Yudhisthira says, what happened? What people? What did they want? And so Bhima described the four questions. And then Maharaj Yudhisthira starts getting all angry. Who are they? Where are they? Find them, find them. Get them out of here. Who are they? And then Bhima is totally bewildered. He's bewildered by the questions. He's bewildered by Maharaj Yudhisthira's response. And so finally Maharaj Yudhisthira says, Bhima, can't you understand? This is Kali personified. These are symptoms of Kali Yuga. And Bhima's still scratching his head. Huh? How is a bucket of water a symptom of Kali Yuga? And he said, the bucket of water is like the family man who has four children, and he raises them his whole life and provides for them and pays for their education. They go to UF and so many things, and they do so many things, and he works really hard. And then as he gets older, his four kids don't want to have anything to do with him. So they don't. He pours, you know, the example was pouring the water. He gave them his whole life, but they don't reciprocate or fill up or take care of the parents in their old age. So that's a symptom of Kali Yuga. And then he said, but what about the others? What about the, what was the next? Oh, the fence. Was that the, whatever, the fence. What does the fence that was eating the vegetables mean? And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, that's another symptom of Kali, that people or things that are supposed to give protection, they exploit exploit their dependents. Like, there's always controversies when people in the priestly class exploit their subjects, you know, the altar boys or this one or that one or their students or whatever. Or especially like that, or anyone who is supposed to give protection, or if the police are corrupt and they only give protection to the criminals and they don't protect the law-abiding citizens, that's a symptom of Kali Yuga. Then the other one was about the elephant. He said, well, what does the elephant mean? He said, well, the elephant is like the big fat politician who does so many criminal activities. And he gets extra money when they're paying $5 million to repave the road. He puts $4 million in his pocket and gives $1 million to the road, so the road still has holes in it. So they get away with so many things, generally speaking. But the little person who has a small traffic violation, he goes to jail. That's a symptom of Kali Yuga. So Bhima's thinking, wow. But what about the rock mountain? What does that have to do with Kali Yuga? Maharaj Yudhisthira says, oh, that's the best part of Kali Yuga. Said that rock mountain symbolizes the accumulation of our karmic reaction, sinful reaction, like lots of it. We have lots of from previous lives, you know, maybe a little bit in this life, hopefully none, but anyway, plenty of karmic reaction to suffer. But that little vine that comes down, it was like, wait, this is show and tell. It was the japa. It was a japa vine. And so the little vine hanging down was the little Brahmin chanting the holy names. And that chanting of the holy names destroys that whole big mountain of sinful reactions that we have. Amazing. And that's the good part of Kali Yuga. So just like if you were going to go on a vacation, let's just say, you might have already just gone on your vacation, right? Maybe some of you went places. So somebody in your family, perhaps not you, but somebody in your family might have checked the weather. What's it going to be like in North Carolina now? Well, it's a little cooler, right? So you have to bring a sweatshirt, even though we're a little hot and sweaty already. If you're going to go to North Carolina in the mountains, you might want to bring a sweatshirt and some pants. Because why? It's going to be cooler. So you be prepared. So that's what it's like when you get these, we're getting this weather report. This is the weather of Kali Yuga. Agitated minds, hard to eat, hard to clean, hard to do this, do that. But here's the weather forecast. If you prepare by chanting Hare Krishna or whatever, then you're not so affected by the... You're not changing the weather. You didn't change the weather in North Carolina or whatever. Today's supposed to rain, but who knows? If you're not going to change the weather, but if you're prepared, if you brought your umbrella or your hat or whatever, then if it rains, you're still all set. So here's another. There's one more thing about the weather forecast. So Srila Sanatana Goswami, he gives his weather forecast. Now, that's not really true, but he gives this really nice compilation of prayers in the Krishna Lila Stava. And the Krishna Lila Stava is Srila Sanatana Goswami's. He composed it to offer 108 obeisances to the pastimes of Krishna from his birth pastimes to when he goes to Mathura. So he... But at the end of the Krishna Lila Stava, he offers some prayers glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. So here's what he says about Srimad Bhagavatam. He talks about rain. He says, "Oh Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain..." Not chemtrails. "They rain pure love of God upon the reader. Every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is raining on us through our ears, pure love of God. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna." So here's what we can do to counteract the influence of this bad weather forecast that we're getting from Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. It's bad weather, but there's things that we can do. We can to fortify ourselves, to protect ourselves from the bad weather. So what are some of the things that you can do to protect yourself from the bad weather of Kali Yuga? Prabhu.
Tamal.
Tamal, yeah, thanks. Tamal.
Chant.
Chant. Yay, Tamal. Good. Garanga. Something else you can do to to fortify yourself, protect yourself from the influence of Kali Yuga.
Do devotional service.
Great.
Sorry, here, I'm just speaking for the children. They said stay inside.
You called your children. What?
Stay inside.
Stay inside.
What does that mean? They might just say stay in the shelter. The devotees.
That's very important. Very good. Stay in the association of devotees. Because why? Because the influence of... Hopefully the mode of goodness will be there. Hopefully the mode of sudha-sattva will be there. And you'll be influenced by that. Let's just say, for example, hold on, don't forget your thought. Don't forget your thought. Let's just say, for example, you have association that's where? In the bars or on the video screen or whatever. Different association. You have different association. If you surround yourself by people who are influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, then what happens? You become influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance. But if we stay in association of people, like-minded devotees, then we'll become influenced by that. Gopal.
Eating
prasadam. That's one of our life-saving happy events, isn't it? Yes. That what you going to say? Okay. Something from the girls' section who are very quiet today for some strange reason. What can we do to fortify ourselves from the influence of Kali Yuga? Wow. Amazing. Everybody gets really busy looking all of a sudden. Sundari, do you have any suggestions? They already said so many things. Say it again. It's okay. Chanting. Gita, do you have anything you'd like to say? Just thought I'd ask. Brinda? Okay, Gopal's going to answer for you.
Reading kirtan and reading the...
That's a great idea. Reading the books of Bhagavatam, because the syllables will rain pure love of God on the... Ahanu.
Distributing books.
Whoa. Yeah, all of these things will help fortify us from the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Vrinda, you have something?
Cooking for Lord Krishna.
Yes. Doing everything that we do to somehow or other please Lord Krishna. And these things, these activities will help fortify us from the influence of the age of Kali. It's not that we... Sometimes we have the... we have the impression that just because we're Hare Krishnas, we don't get influenced by outside things. Taint of fact, if you notice. Taint of fact. So we have to actually, Srila Prabhupada's given us a basic program. Rising early, taking bath, putting on tilak, chanting the holy names, eating Krishna prasadam, studying Srila Prabhupada's books, chanting the holy name, taking prasadam, studying Prabhupada's books, chanting the holy name, taking prasadam. So many things he's given us so that will help focus our mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And in that way, that influence of the mode of the influence of Kali will be pushed off gradually. So, now here's my question to you. Do you have any questions or comments or anything that you can remember about class? Keshava. Kishore, that one, being with a K, I knew. Kishore, anything you remember from the class that you liked or didn't like? From your profuse notes. I'm sure he does. He just doesn't know which one he wants to say. But say any one of them, Kishore. Please.
Not everything that influences us is external.
Okay, good. Not everything is external. Some of it's like invisible, like the influence of the modes of nature, it's there. So therefore, what would we do if we want to stay out of the influence of the modes of material nature? One thing would be stay in the association of devotees. Okay, Dharma? Yeah, everyone's trying to make money and trying to be better than everyone else. Just one thing, I was just recently at the beach. I'm walking on the beach, and you know, as you walk on the beach, there's miles and miles of beach, and there's little grains of sand, right? It's made up of little teeny-weeny grains of sand. So I was thinking of the little grains of sand on the beach, and I was thinking, oh, this little grain of sand thinks he's really important. And he's thinking that he's the big boss grain of sand. And he's probably bossing around all the other little grains of sand that are near him. But then you take another couple of steps and whoever thought of that other grain of sand? We're all really insignificant. We're all very, very small. And by the power of the spirit soul with inside, we have some life to us, you know. But we're very, very insignificant. Aham Krishna. Ahanu Krishna. Prabhu. They're
really
greedy. They're really greedy. Thanks. You're paying nice attention today. Thanks. Gopal.
One of the bad things that you're calling to be envious
Okay, thanks. So he said that one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is that people are always envious, and the way that one of the ways that you can get away from that is by following the 9 processes of devotional service. Thanks. Okay, girls, you're not off the hook yet. Somebody over that corner has to say something about Krishna. I always have a hard time. Chandramukhi, that's what I was trying to think of. Sorry, Chandramukhi. Something that you remember from the verse, the class, or that you didn't like. Shortage of things are going down and great. So the thing is, sometimes too, when we read these things, the overall impression is a little bit of like depression. Oh no, it's so bad. But we have to remember that there's a way to counteract everything. So thank you very much for your kind attention. If anyone else has anything they'd like to contribute or correct or discuss. Ramiya Prabhu.
That after Lord Chaitanya, there'd be a period of 10,000 years we'll call the Golden Age. So, in that period, is these symptoms going to be reduced or disappear, or what exactly is the effect?
I've heard different discussions on this, you know, and my understanding is that the symptoms of Kali are held back for as long as the influence of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is predominant. And the more it becomes stronger, the more it can stave off some of the influence of Kali Yuga, perhaps not all over the place, but in the areas where it's active. And as the time goes on and Kali Yuga's influence progresses and the Sankirtan movement declines, well, I'll put it this way. As the Sankirtan movement declines, then these symptoms become even more and more prominent. I don't have any particular more understanding than that. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
I was noticing here, like the tricolic, yeah, the ones that can see the past, present, and future, that there's certain laws that we gradually are being introduced to, that if you're, as you point out, if you're in a mode of ignorance, then certain symptoms will manifest with the earth and with yourself and the shortages and the mode of passion, certain things. And because the people have the predominance of that, then it's just natural that these symptoms show up, like the shortages and all these different things, so that the cause and effect, the way that seems Vedanta Sutra was presented with all reason to cause and effect. So yeah. We're starting to see that the all-pervasive feature of Krishna, that if you do this, this will be the causes and the effect, and the effect is in the cause.
Thank you. And another thing, too, is that people in general, they don't make the connection that there's a personality in charge of everything. The weather, the earth, the this, the that, the rain. There's a personality. And by pleasing those personalities, or by what? Pouring water on the root of the tree. That's a basic instruction Srila Prabhupada gave us. It's there in the Bhagavatam. By pouring water on the root of the tree, then automatically all the branches are satisfied. But there's a person behind all of these things. And therefore, when the earth feels exploited and the people become more and more degraded and sinful, then as a result, she holds back from her production, the seeds, just like she did in the time of Prithu or Vena, when Maharaj Vena was ruling. She withheld the grain, so then when Prithu was established the king, there wasn't a lot of grains and people were suffering from famine. He was a little angry at the earth. And she said, but I'm withholding because the people are sinful and they're not using the grains or whatever to glorify the Lord. So, thanks. Thank you very kindly. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Her influence that she can pull back the resources.
Yeah.